Detective Superintendent Hay, I might as well start off with the questions. What happened last night?
Look, the situation I think that we need to clarify is that, and it's important that we understand how the flow of information worked. Essentially, we have investigators undertaking an investigation. Then you have sit reps or situation reports that would be fed up the line through the appropriate change of the command. And at the end of that step was police media attempting to respond in a timely and accurate manner to incidents or issues that were being raised on Twitter. Now, whilst people can sit at a keyboard and be live with their questions and comments on Twitter, unfortunately, police media is trying to respond to that, but it's not getting the same benefit of live as it occurs responses from the investigation team or the investigation cell. And that's a classic example. And, you know, we've got lessons to learn out of that. So, and we'll certainly review our processes in respect of how we respond to a Twitter feed whilst an investigation cell is live and active.
I might come back to what happened on Twitter and the unfolding thing, but the key issue was Ben Grubb, who's a journalist, it's now been confirmed he was arrested because...
Yeah, look, it's not appropriate that I go into the specifics of that matter because it is under investigation. But during, if I could speak candidly, during a process, generally speaking, so you, and I'll indicate... people can participate willingly in an interview, and at any time that they want to divert from that preparedness to be interviewed, we have a lawful process where we can arrest for questioning. Okay.
So that is a separate concept from being arrested under suspicion of
well,
a specific
traditionally, crime. You know, when I first joined the job, if you were arrested, well, you were taking them to the watch house or executing a prosecution action. Nowadays, under the new legislation, we can arrest, which is essentially like a detention provision for the purpose of questioning, and then you unarrest and allow people to go on with what they did. So the whole interpretation, if you like, of what arrest now constitutes is quite different to what it used to be. So now we can arrest for prosecution and charge, or we can arrest for the purpose of detaining that person to ask questions.
And this was an arrest for the purposes of asking questions?
At that time, but I suppose I'll say, just simply for the record, I don't want to delve into too much, but there was a period when there was no arrest and the person was partaking in an interview without any arrest being effected.
Ben Grubb's iPad is currently still with the police, I understand. That was taken because...
The police believe that it will afford evidence of the commission of an offence.
The offence being, is there any charges for particular offences that we're talking about here?
Matters are continuing under the investigation process, and it would be remiss of me to go too much into the evidence and the issues.
It would seem like it could potentially be a breach of there's federal, there's the Commonwealth Criminal Act 95, there's section under there for computer-related offences. There's also the various state computer crime acts. In which the act of manipulating the URL to obtain a private photo would, and there's also intent wrapped into that, would seem like that would have been a breach of quite several laws.
You're right in what you're saying.
Is that being investigated?
We are investigating issues of that nature.
Great.
Is it... Do you need a warrant to seize...
We don't want the information that's in the possession of a journalist unless it pertains, we believe, to the commission of offence. So the purpose is not to take property just for the sake of taking property to find out what's on it. That what we seek is the information we're looking for to an offence provision. So. We have the powers to do that if we believe someone's in possession of evidence that will afford...
Without a warrant.
Absolutely. If the item was in a vehicle or is in a premises, then we would need a warrant.
But because he handed it over when you asked, you don't have one?
Yeah, I don't want to go into the specifics of that, but if police feel someone's in possession of... product or some piece of evidence that is material to an investigation, we can execute powers that will give us the authority to lawfully take that property.
Now, With respect to the how the photos were obtained from Facebook, so the servers, so you've got potentially, I guess that would have been conducted in New South Wales, but the Facebook servers are in the US. What implications may that have in terms of jurisdiction with Facebook?
Again, you know, you're talking about specifics in this case, and I really can't talk about that. Broadly speaking, there are always implications, and that's one of the greatest challenges with the cyber environment, is where the servers are held. And that classic example could be, and this shows you how bizarre the whole spectrum can be. Say, for example, a business was in Brisbane, yet its servers were in Tasmania, and the attacks were upon the server, even though there's negative impacts upon the business entity. The actual breach, according to jurisdiction, has actually occurred in Tasmania.
Yes.
So there are challenges we have to look at and investigate. So.
Would it be fair to say that this could be a test case?
Well, some aspects of it most certainly could be a test case. You know, I think it'd be fair to say that all jurisdictions are continuing to come to grips with the specific aspects of a lot of the cyber-based investigations.
Sure. Thanks.
Christian Heinrich, who's the gentleman who demonstrated the technique for getting into Facebook, he was saying last night that he'd not been approached by the police at that stage. Has he now been approached? Has he been spoken to?
I can't talk about the case.
Were you acting on a complaint from the other party?
Police were acting on a complaint.
And not allowed to confirm that?
I really don't want to go into it because, you know, this is a matter that's live and it would be inappropriate for me to comment.
What was the complaint? That privacy had been breached or something had been stolen? What was the complaint?
The complaint was in respect of an alleged hacking incident that saw the private material being obtained unlawfully.
Do you acknowledge this kind of hacking incident has happened before recently against something that the University of Sydney? Has anyone ever have complaints of incidents of this nature been filed before and pursued?
Hacking complaints have been filed, yeah, absolutely. And the reality is we'll see more of it. And in some respects, you know, that it's probably quite sad, really, that we may even have people out there to think it's their right to just go in and it's a game and it's not serious. The reality is the online environment is now an extension of our real community. And if we go into that environment, we have responsibilities to behave in a certain manner and not break the laws just as we would in our walking down the street of our local neighbourhood. I think, cultures have built up where hacking in the past has been a part of a competition. You have black hat conferences around the world. But the technical reality is, you know, is that on those occasions, crimes may well have been committed. So it's a...
And of course, consent was obtained in this instance.
I don't want to talk about the specifics of the case.
Mr. Hay, looking more broadly at issues like people concerned over privacy breaches on Facebook, can you talk a little bit about how many complaints you've had in the past? Do you get complaints of this nature? Are you seeing, more broadly, perhaps a personal opinion of whether you're seeing a rise in concerns now that so many people use Facebook?
Well, I think that's a fair comment. I think, and I expect complaints of this nature to continue. I expect that we're going to see an increase in defacing of people's accounts, theft of their personal information. The reality is now, first of all, we saw all the focus on financial data. And the crooks now realise if they can marry that financial data up with identity data, the value of their commodity is worth so much more. And if I can give you an example of that, if you go into a black market portal, you could buy a compromised credit card for 8 cents.
8 cents per credit card.
Yes. If you want the CVV, this is, you know, might buy in volume of several thousand, you want the CVV number, which will give you application for online purchases, telephone purchases. It might cost you $8. Now, bear in mind, I don't have the latest figures. It's a little bit old, but when I was last informed, probably about 18 months ago, I think the average loss on a credit card was about $2,300. So for $8, you get the CVV number. However, if it's accompanied by sufficient identity information that will allow you to change the billing address of that credit card, it's worth $80. So the value to a crook of identity information can increase the product that they have a thousandfold, from 8 cents to $80. So, and that's not worth seeing. People, and especially our young people, you know, they go on, they throw everything out there, and the crooks are harvesting that information. They're not thinking about some years down the track. So a 15-year-old goes on there today and puts their full life history, all their circumstances, their photographs, their date of birth, everything about themselves, thinking, I don't have a job, I don't have any money, I don't have a car, I don't have a credit card, I've got nothing in my bank account. What does it matter? But we know this information has been harvested and it's been kept. So the reality is, what they could possibly expect, that when they, by the time they turn 18 and they go to take out a credit card or a loan for a car, that lo and behold, well, they've already got one, or someone has one in their name. And that's what we need to start thinking about the future.
Yeah, without talking about this case here specifically, when you have to deal with an organisation perhaps like Facebook for gathering their evidence or whatever, what problems do you run into when dealing with a large international organisation?
Look, I think some large organisations have been very good with sharing information, cooperating. You know, we've got to, you've got to look at where the country is that's involved, where they're hosted, where their servers are. Do we have treaties with those countries that we can facilitate? Do we have partner agencies such as US Secret Service, FBI, and what information exchanges and seizures can take place, and preservation orders in the different countries? So there's a whole host of issues, and the transnational element of cyber-based crime is certainly one of the most challenging aspects.
In regards to...
Sorry, can I just... You should let everyone know that...
Yeah, yes, I should actually say this is being streamed live on the internet at the moment, and I should suggest, for those who out of shot, a whole bunch of... oh, that's going to have its screen thing on, but a whole bunch of other media people have just come in. I should actually open that up so people can be... aware of what's happening, but
a disclosure that happened. A disclosure occurred on Sunday, where someone demonstrated a vulnerability against data stored in Facebook servers. The response of the Queensland Police seems to be to go after the individual that released that disclosure. Are Queensland Police concerned about the responsibility that Facebook should have to protect that data? And are Queensland Police going to do anything to communicate with Facebook?
Yeah, you shouldn't only focus on, obviously, clearly you're focusing on the information you know, but obviously we have more information, and I can assure you that other actions have been in train from the outset. So that's all I'll say about it.
But in general, with a disclosure, to what level does the police, does Queensland Police hold the individual releasing the disclosure responsible, as opposed to holding the company responsible?
There are other issues that involve. This isn't about release of information. This is, you know, that's one element. And again, I don't want to go into it. But for example, if I could give you an analogy, and we don't talk about the online crime environment. Someone breaks into a house and they steal a TV and they give that TV to you. And you know that TV is stolen and you apply it to your own use. That's all I say.
But if
that's receiving the proceeds of crime, is that right?
But it's not the proceeds of crime, it's receiving property, stolen property.
But in this case, Facebook have left those photos unprotected on a content delivery network. Anyone using any URL can access them.
I'm not going to go into the details of the specifics of the case.
I'll just say for the live audio stream at the moment, I can't actually see the chat stream. I can't respond to anything on the chat because it's my laptop that is using its webcam to get the imagery you're seeing of Detective Superintendent Hay. The other media people are now setting up broadcast cameras behind my shoulder and so on, so I suspect we're going to have a repeat of some of the questions that were asked at the very beginning before these mainstream media types eventually caught up that we were here.
mainstream media types.
Yeah.
Is that an industry term?
There's a less polite term. I'm sure you have a less polite term for them as well.
Absolutely not.
That's right, the red light is on. We need to be aware of that.
Does anyone...
What are the sort of numbers of identity theft?
Identity theft, yeah. In terms online. Of online?
Yes.
We don't really know. And that's the great unknown, because the reality is the majority of breaches on a daily basis that occur are not reported to the authorities. I mean, we've seen the huge numbers, for example, with the Sony breach, 77 million. You look back on the day of President Obama's inauguration. Now, Heartland Securities came out and announced that they had a breach within their system that was then existed for at least 5 months. Now, they're an organisation that processed 100 million in debit cards every month. And that breach was there. So were there 500 million compromises on that occasion or not? You look at the TJ Maxx compromise. I think they were charged with about 40 million. Industry sources indicated it could have been as much as 120 million. We had the compromise where we found a site in Vietnam hosting 1,000 Australians' identities. But the sheer reality is that the majority of these breaches are not being reported, and the volume that is lost is not being accurately accounted for. I think it wasn't that long ago, a few months back, Facebook itself had a compromise, I think, of 1.5 million users. We know that the crooks are targeting identity information through social networking sites. The quantum is one of those, is a $64 million question.
Will we ever get ahead of any of that?
One would like to think so. You know, it's going to take time, because what we're seeing, that the speed at which this has unfolded, one of the slowest things to change is behaviours and cultures. And what we actually need to do, the great challenge, is to build a culture that values our identity as a commodity, that understands the vulnerability of the environment in which we play or we do business. And there's always this catch-up. You know, the commercial environment is out there racing against the clock and each other to produce a product that is going to get to the market first. And that's one of the most important things, that it gets to market first. Not necessarily that it's got all its back ends covered and that there are no vulnerabilities that that will allow the crooks to get in. And how often do you see a new product, you buy something off the shelf, and then all of a sudden you've got a very short time later patches are coming out to fix vulnerabilities.
And how difficult is it to protect yourself with things like smartphones, tablet computers, stuff like that? Does that make it more of a threat with those emerging technologies?
Well, certainly some of the excellent presentations yesterday would highlighted the vulnerabilities that potentially are there with things like smartphones. We've not seen a lot of attacks upon it in this country just yet, and it was pointed out the realities. It's not yet mainstream for conducting financial transactions on, but once it takes that place in our communities, then it's going to come into for greater attention by the crooks. You look at PayWave cards. At the moment, you know, $50 to $100 limits, so they're not an attractive item because there are so many cards out there that can are worth so much more. If they increase the limit on those cards to $1,000 or more, then invariably the crooks will start turning their intentions to defeating the technology on those cards.
So the situation that happened on the weekend with Facebook, can you outline where things stand now?
In respect to... we're continuing our investigation. No charges have been laid. I was explaining previously that in the term arrest is different to what it once was. Under the new PPRA powers, that we can arrest for question, we can arrest to detain a person for the purpose of the investigation. I suppose once upon a time when I first joined the job, which is a long time ago, you arrested when you were going to charge them. That's not the case anymore. You can still do that. It was not executed. No arrest was for the purpose of prosecution was executed on this time. And then when you have... finish that part of the investigation, the person is unarrested. So if you like, in the old days, we'd use it detained.
So you question that particular person? Where is the investigation at now?
Well, it's because it's live and still going. I can't speak about that.
So
but it's ongoing.
Still be charged?
The investigation's ongoing.
Was Mangrove arrested then for possession of stolen property?
The investigation's ongoing. I don't want to talk about the investigation. But no, the arrest was for the purpose of the investigation. There was no charge pending.
Right, so an arrest to interview him?
Yes, and secure property. but I might say, just for the clarification, the actual interview had commenced with no arrest taking place.
There's some questions coming in from the people following this on the screen and on Twitter. When was the last time Queensland Police arrested a journalist for questioning?
No idea.
Question on that?
I'd suggest it doesn't happen every week, and it's not something that takes lightly. I mean, the reality is journalists and the media are our greatest ally in terms of educating the public and raising the awareness of the threats that exist. And, you know, I've been in this fraud portfolio now for 7 years, and I suggest I've fostered fantastic relationships with the majority of journalists across this country. And it's unfortunate, and I can understand the sensitivities when the eye of the police may turn their attention to a journalist, but no one is immune. You know, I've worked in the CMC, I've investigated police, corrupt officials, you name it, and there are unpleasant scenarios that we have to do, but no one's immune, not cops, not politicians, not journalists. And we, you know, once upon a time you had a thing called discretion, and don't equate that to a blind eye, but we're very professional in what we do, and we follow the law of the letter. We certainly strive to do the right thing all the time, and we have to follow these things, and we follow due process, and that sometimes the very nature of that becomes unpleasant, but that's what we signed up for.
Brian, would you acknowledge that perhaps this isn't your PR best moment, and that maybe some missteps were made along the way?
No, I wouldn't. In terms of the investigation, missteps? No, I'd say there was a breakdown in communication of the timeliness of the Twitter feed. But as I explained earlier, the process was where you've got a media unit that's probably four steps removed from the live activity, and there is, as the information feeds up, there are time lags. And when they're trying to respond to a live comment, that's times when the information has not yet made its way to that point to be released accurately. And it's unfortunate that on this occasion, that's what happened.
Brian, you were here yesterday yourself. You're speaking at the conference about cybercrime and policing and the challenges of regular policing versus technology. Were you consulted by the investigating officers before the action occurred yesterday?
I don't want to go into, I will not provide information about the investigation or the briefings to my officers.
Brian, does brute force guessing of a URL address constitute unauthorised access to a computer system?
Give me all the facts and then we can sit down and have a look at it.
In terms of using Facebook photos in stories, which I'm sure you've seen quite a bit of, is that legal for journalists to do without the permission of the user?
Everything's got to be looked in its context. And that's the important thing. Was it out there for public display? Was it out there and published for the world to take advantage of? Or was it secured privately under strict confines of password protection?
Do you think it should be illegal?
It's not my position to make recommendations like that.
Do these sort of things highlight the difficulty in keeping up with the developments in technology?
Look, I said yesterday in my talk that I think that the cyber environment represents the greatest challenge to law enforcement in the history of policing, and I stand by that. It seems that every day we turn a new corner with more difficulties and more challenges and more problems. And there's no doubt we're still cutting our teeth, and we're probably in an environment, you know, that we'll never truly understand. But you give me another example that where you have something that constantly evolves, where we've got a lot of people out there incredibly bright. I'm challenging and testing that environment every day. It's quite extraordinary.
Is this what this arrest is, an example that these things are happening?
Did we do it as an example?
Is it an opportunity to test that new environment?
No, definitely not. No. It may be, the question was earlier, was this a test case? And certain aspects could be a test case, but it was not executed as a test, not by any means. That would be wrong.
So can you say what you're investigating?
We got a complaint of an unauthorised access and the taking of data.
So this would be under Section 408D of the Queensland Criminal Code?
Well, you could be looking under the Commonwealth provisions or the state provisions.
Ah.
Any other questions from...
It will be in a sec.
No.
Sorry.
No, that's all right.
Still more people arriving.
Oh, for those that have arrived, you just wish to...
Aware disclosure, we are streaming this live through the webcam and audio out at the moment, just so you're aware it's all going out live. Just a fair disclosure.
Okay. Nearly lost an eye.
Are we all done and can we leave?
I think I'm already doing enough. Yeah.